repeat, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So Lord Nrisimha is one of the Dash avatars that is mentioned by Jayadeva Goswami in his introduction to the Gita Govinda, where he describes 10 different incarnations. Lord Nrisimha is a Leela avatar, which means he comes for a specific purpose and does something that it is impossible for anyone else to even imitate. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the story of Lord Nrisimha is explained in detail in 10 chapters in the 7th canto, and in the 2nd canto, Lord Brahma, the creator, is instructing Narada, and it is Narada who in the 7th canto tells Maharaj Yudhisthira the 10 chapters dealing with Lord Nrisimha. But in the 2nd canto, Narada's father, Lord Brahma, gives a one paragraph, short paragraph, synopsis of Lord Nrisimha's appearance. So I want you to hear, and then if you allow me to go into samadhi, I want to tell you from my remembrance the entire Nrisimha Leela. Do I have your permission? Because today, I spent the whole day, nothing I did today other than read about Lord Nrisimha. I spent the whole day. So please repeat. The personality of Godhead assumed the incarnation of Nrisimhadev in order to vanquish the great fears of the demigods. He killed the king of the demons, Hiranyakashipu, who challenged the Lord with a club in his hand by placing the demon on his thighs and piercing him with his nails, rolling his eyebrows in anger, and showing his fearful teeth and mouth. So, it is my practice, wherever I preach, whenever I preach, I chant 2 mantras to put me in the proper mood. Prabhupada at one time wrote, spiritual life depends on the proper attitude, the proper mood. When things are done in the right mood, then it'll be very effective. Trinadapi sunichena tadariva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. I must always keep myself meek and humble. I must be more tolerant than a tree. I must give all respects to others. I should not expect any kind of respect or praise from anyone. And if I can do this, then I can easily hear and chant the glories of the Lord. And then the mantra that I live by, the mantra that is my personal mission statement. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Iva Kivalam, Kalau Nastyeva, Nastyeva, Nastyeva Gatir Anyata. This is the age of Kali. The age of Kali began when Krishna, on this earth, left this earth and returned back to his kingdom in the spiritual world. The day Krishna left 5,000 years ago, that is when Kali Yuga began. Kali Yuga is known as the Iron Age, the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. And this verse was instructed to Lord Chaitanya at the time of his initiation. His spiritual master told him, in this age of Kali, there is no other way for self-realization, no other way for perfection, no other way for spiritual advancement other than the chanting of the holy names of God. Everyone chant with me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So now that I've set the mood for myself and hopefully for you, let me go into Samadhi. So I'm going to close my eyes, if you allow me. And now I want to remember as much as I can everything that I studied today. Actually, I've been studying for the past week. I have restricted my studying this whole week, only studying these 10 chapters. There's a lot there. So, this story begins with another incarnation of Krishna, Varaha. And he killed a demon, Hiranyaksha. And when Hiranyaksha died, his brother, Hiranyakashipu, performed the funeral ceremony for his brother. And Hiranyakashipu, at this time, took a vow that he would avenge the death of his brother. His brother was killed by Lord Vishnu. So Hiranyakashipu, at the funeral service, he swore that he would find this Lord Vishnu and avenge the death of his brother. And in describing his brother to his relatives, he said that Lord Vishnu has given up his impartiality and killed my brother, who was so fond of sucking blood, as if that was a great quality. So fond of sucking blood. So, Lord Vishnu, understanding that this Hiranyakashipu was going to be searching for him and harassing him, Lord Vishnu said, what should I do so I won't be bothered by this Hiranyakashipu? Where can I hide where he'll never find me? And the Lord said, yes. He'll never look for me in his own heart. He'll be looking everywhere, but he won't look in his own heart. So, when Hiranyakashipu once took an inhalation, the Lord entered his nostril and hid himself in Hiranyakashipu's heart. This information, by the way, was revealed not at this time. This information is what Lord Vamanadev told a descendant of Hiranyakashipu, Bali Maharaj. When Vamanadev came, he glorified Bali and said, oh yes, your great ancestor Hiranyakashipu, Lord Vishnu was very worried, and so he hid in his heart. So, Hiranyakashipu wanted to become He had several desires. Hiranyakashipu wanted to become the topmost powerful person in the whole universe. He wanted to be the number one person. He wanted also to achieve immortality. He didn't want to be defeated by anyone, not even by death. And he reasoned that the supreme ruler, Lord Brahma, the creator, he knew that Lord Brahma had gotten his post because he had performed severe penances and austerities. So Hiranyakashipu decided, I will outdo that. I will do an austerity that has never been attempted. And he did. He stood on his tippy toes, right? Not on his feet, but on his toes, with his hands outstretched. And he stood like that for hundreds of years. And over the course of time, insects and ants, they ate the flesh of Hiranyakashipu, but he didn't die. He kept the life force within the skeleton. And in due course of time, his whole skeletal feature was covered by an anthill. But because he was performing this severe austerity, fire was coming out from his skull. And this fire was causing the original global warming. The whole universe was becoming suffocated and was tremendous heat. And the demigods in the heavens, they were feeling too much disturbance. This is universal warming. And the demigods knew what Hiranyakashipu was up to. They knew. So they all went to see Lord Brahma. And they explained to Brahma, please do something. You must do something to take care of this. So Lord Brahma, he came to the scene on his swan aeroplane. We have aeroplanes made of metal and tin, but the demigods, they have much better airplanes. Lord Shiva, what does he ride on? Bull. And Brahma rides on a swan. And Lord Brahma could see where was Hiranyakashipu because of that fire coming out from the anthill. Lord Brahma has a water pot, and in that water pot is very special transcendental water. When Lord Brahma passed over, he sprinkled a few drops. It's like, you know, when we do RT and the water comes off and everybody gets the holy water from the RT. So the same way, Lord Brahma sprinkled. And when he sprinkled water from his pot, out from the anthill came a completely rejuvenated Hiranyakashipu. Now he has a new rejuvenated body. Such a body that it would be impervious even to Lord Indra's thunderbolt weapon, which is normally invincible. But he has a body now that can withstand any weapon. And when Hiranyakashipu sees Lord Brahma, he bows down, offers his full obeisances, and offers prayers to Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma says, yes, you have done amazing penances and austerities. What benediction would you want? And Hiranyakashipu said, yes, I want to be immortal. But Lord Brahma said, even I am not immortal. Even I have to die. That is something I can't give you. So then Hiranyakashipu said, okay, I don't want to die by anyone created by you who is not created by Lord Brahma. Everybody. Everybody originally comes from Lord Brahma. So Hiranyakashipu was thinking, now nobody can kill me. I don't want to die by any weapon. Brahma said, yes. I don't want to die either in the night or the day. Brahma said, yes. I don't want to die on the land or in the sea or in the air. Brahma said, yes. I don't want, and so he went over every conceivable scenario how someone could die. So Hiranyakashipu thought, practically, I'm immortal. And Hiranyakashipu wanted all the mystic powers. There are 8 major mystic powers. He wanted all of those. Brahma said, you may have them. So, now Hiranyakashipu is the most powerful man in the whole universe. And he is now taking over the throne of heaven. And all the demigods and everyone in the universe, including Narada, because Narada is telling this to Maharaj Yudhisthira. He said, even I had to sing and glorify Hiranyakashipu because he has now become the supreme person in the universe. Then Hiranyakashipu decided that he would send his representatives to earth and they would torture devotees and Brahmins, because Hiranyakashipu thought, because he wanted to kill Vishnu and he knew that Lord Vishnu is connected with cow protection, sacrifice, devotees, Brahmins. So he was doing everything he could to try to kill Lord Vishnu in this way. The demigods now are again bereft and in a very intolerable situation. They go to see Lord Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu tells them, don't worry. You know what you should do? You should hear about me. You should chant about me. But that wasn't enough for the demigods. So then Lord Vishnu said, don't worry. This Hiranyakashipu, when his sinful activities are mature, he will die. And the last thing he will do before he dies is he will torture his own son, who is a great devotee of mine. And that son, his name was Prahlad. So, Hiranyakashipu is described that he was ruling the whole universe. Only 3 people were under his control. The only 3 people not under his control, Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva. Everybody else in the universe had to kowtow to President Hiranyakashipu or Prime Minister Hiranyakashipu. Lo and behold, Hiranyakashipu had 4 sons. The last son was this boy Prahlad. And this boy Prahlad was very, very special. When his mother was pregnant, at that time, Hiranyakashipu was doing some austerities. The demigods, headed by Indra, they said, oh, this is our chance. Because this wife of Hiranyakashipu is pregnant, So the child in her womb must be like Hiranyakashipu. We have an expression, like father, like son. They reasoned. So, when Hiranyakashipu went off to do austerities, they captured Hiranyakashipu's wife, Kayadu. And they were going to take her with them, and as soon as she was going to give birth, they were going to kill. Narada Muni came on the scene. And Narada Muni told Indra and the demigods, stop. Even if you wanted to kill that child, you could not kill it. Because that child is a great Mahabhagavat. A Mahabhagavat is the topmost devotee of the Lord, just like the founder Acharya of this movement, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, the Mahabhagavat, who is the reason why you and he and us are here today. No Prabhupada, no us. Srila Prabhupada ki. So, Narada told Indra, that boy in her womb, he is very special. The demigods respected Narada, and they didn't take Kayadu. Narada Muni took Prahlad's mother to his ashram, protected her, because she wanted to give birth when her husband returned from austerities. So Narada gave her protection and shelter. And while she was there, Narada was speaking the conclusions of Bhagavat Dharma, pure Sanatan Dharma, pure religion, Krishna consciousness. So he was preaching to Kayadu, but the child in the womb was hearing everything. That's why whenever a woman is pregnant, she should be very careful what she hears, what she sees, what she eats, because it will affect the child. So Prahlad, the young boy, he heard everything that Narada was speaking. And so when he came out, he was fully self-realized and completely Krishna conscious. The boy grows up and he's now 5 years old. One day, Hiranyakashipu, being a good demon father like he is, calls his son, Prahlad, come, sit on my lap. And Hiranyakashipu smells Prahlad's head. Have you ever done that? Have you ever smelled the head of your child? I did that with my grandson. It's great, great satisfaction, smelling. So, Hiranyakashipu had great affection for this boy, Prahlad. He said, Prahlad, I have been sending you to the school, because Hiranyakashipu, even though he's a demon, he has a guru. So I don't know why people say, oh, I don't need a guru. I said, well, even the demons have a guru. How come you don't have a guru? So there was a special school. So Hiranyakashipu wanted a progress report. Prahlad, tell me now what you have learned. What is the best thing you have learned in that school? So Hiranyakashipu is expecting to hear something about materialism. What does the boy say? Five-year-old boy tells his father, my dear father, you know what? Someone like you, who is too attached to sense gratification, should go to the forest. In fact, you should go to Vrindavan and you should learn Krishna consciousness. Hiranyakashipu becomes outraged. What is this nonsense my son is saying? Krishna is my enemy. He is the one who killed my brother. So he calls for the teachers. He had two teachers, Shanda and Amarka, the sons of Shukracharya. What is going on here? This boy has become polluted. He is talking in favor of the enemy. Take this boy and train him properly. I want him to become like his old man, first class demon. The teachers took Prahlad and they chastised him. Prahlad, why are you getting us in trouble? We don't teach you like this. Why are you talking all this nonsense? And Prahlad tells the teachers that you will never understand anything. So, the teachers are trying their best to train Prahlad how to be a demon. And after some time, Hiranyakashipu, sitting on his throne, again calls, Prahlad, come. Now, you have been sent to the school now, and I told the teachers what to do. Now you tell me what is the best thing you have learned. And the five-year-old boy tells his father, the best thing I have ever learned is called Krishna consciousness, comprising of 9 activities: hearing, chanting, remembering, praying, serving, worshiping, befriending, and ultimately surrendering. This is the topmost education. Prahlad said other things also to his father, how he would never be able to understand any of this because his father had taken a vow to be engaged in sense gratification. But when Hiranyakashipu heard again about Krishna consciousness, Hiranyakashipu threw the boy off his lap, his own son, threw him off his lap and said, you are my enemy because I have become the avowed enemy of Lord Vishnu. You are speaking favorably of him. You are my enemy. He called his people, kill this boy. He is my enemy. Kill him. So, Prahlad was put into many different kinds of tortures. Prahlad was taken to a cliff and he was thrown off the cliff, but nothing happened to him. Prahlad was put into a pit of snakes. They didn't bite. Prahlad was put into a big pot of oil, boiling oil. Nothing happened. They took Prahlad and put him underneath the feet of elephants. Nothing happened. Hiranyakashipu told his wife, bring me the boy's food. And he put poison in the food. Prahlad took the food, offered it to Krishna, ate, nothing happened. Hiranyakashipu now has become totally enraged because no matter what has been done, the boy does not die. So finally, Hiranyakashipu says to his son, Prahlad, where do you get your powers to defy me? I am the supreme person and you act in defiance of me. Where do you get your powers from? Prahlad says to his father, the source of my strength is the source of your strength, God. God? Prahlad, there is no God. I am the supreme. You talk about some God? You're a nonsense. You're a fool. I am God. I am supreme. Prahlad said, no, you're not. You are not supreme. The Supreme is Krishna. Hiranyakashipu now is very, very, very mad. He says, Prahlad, where is your God? Show me. Prahlad says, well, he's everywhere. Hiranyakashipu goes, Prahlad, everywhere? This is childish. All right. If he's everywhere, is he in this pillar? Prahlad says, yes, my Lord is everywhere. Then Hiranyakashipu takes out his sword. And he says, now, Prahlad, I will kill you and I will kill your God right before your very eyes. So Hiranyakashipu, with sword in hand, hits the column. And when he hits the column, a tremendous sound, roar! It is a sound that nobody had ever heard before. A sound that was deafening. A sound that was unbelievable sound. Hiranyakashipu is looking all around. And then out comes the form of Lord Nrisimha Bhagavan ki. Yes. Lord Nrisimha, with four arms, has the body of a man, but the head and nails of a lion. And he's angry. Very angry. Hiranyakashipu knows, uh-oh, this is my enemy. So they have a fight. They're fighting. Hiranyakashipu has mystic powers, so sometimes he's in the air and sometimes he's here. But Lord Nrisimha easily captures him. And just like a snake playing with a mouse, he lets him go. And Hiranyakashipu thinks, oh, he's afraid of me now. He's afraid of me. No, he's just playing. He captures him, lets him go. Captures him, lets him know. Waiting for sunset, when it's not night or day. At sunset, Lord Nrisimhadev captures Hiranyakashipu and puts him on his lap. Not the land, not the sky, not water. And he does it in the foyer. Not inside, not outside. And then without any weapon, just his nails, here Lord Nrisimha gouges out the intestines of Hiranyakashipu. I'm looking at the picture right now. And takes those intestines and puts it on himself as a garland. Then Lord Nrisimha is not finished. He takes out his heart of Hiranyakashipu and throws it on the ground. Now Hiranyakashipu is dead. Nrisimha Bhagavan ki! So, Lord Nrisimha now is roaring, and all of Hiranyakashipu's army and soldiers have come to attack. Lord Nrisimha assumes a huge form with many, many arms, and just with his nails, he kills all Hiranyakashipu's soldiers, just with his nails. This is, boy, if any government had this weapon, they would be invincible. But this is for the Lord. So all the soldiers are done, and Lord Nrisimha is still roaring. So all the demigods come, one by one, Brahma, Shiva, Indra, all the demigods come offering prayers to Lord Nrisimha. But he's still roaring. He still has not calmed down. Lord Brahma's looking. Uh-oh. Lord Brahma sees Nrisimhadev's wife, Lakshmi. He says, can you calm him down? She goes, I've never seen him so angry. So Lakshmi didn't want to go at this time. Right? Ladies, you don't go to your husband when he's angry, right? So Brahma doesn't know what to do. He sees Prahlad and he tells Prahlad, go ahead, do something. Calm him down. Prahlad has a garland and he puts the garland on Lord Nrisimha, and then Prahlad offers his obeisances. And when Lord Nisringa sees Prahlad, now he becomes. Before this, he was Ugra Nisringa. But when he sees Prahlad, now he's Shanta Nisringa. Calm, peaceful. And Lord Nisringa puts his lotus hand on Prahlad's head. Prahlad stands up and offers 41 prayers. I studied these prayers today. Actually, just before I came, I went through every single prayer of Prahlad. They're so wonderful, so highly philosophical. Amazing how this 5-year-old boy spoke so eloquently, glorifying Lord Nisringa and explaining many, many valuable concepts of the science of God. When Prahlad finished offering his prayers, Lord Nisringa said to Prahlad, "Because you were my devotee, you suffered and had to tolerate so many tortures. I want you to take a benediction." But Prahlad said to the Lord, "My Lord, you are my master. I am your servant. There's no need for anything else. I'm not a merchant. I'm not worshiping you to do business. I worship you because you are my Lord and I am your servant." But Lord Nisringa said, "No, Prahlad, I insist. You must take a benediction." So Prahlad said, "Okay, if I must take a benediction, then let there be no material desires in the core of my heart." That is the perfection of prayer. Same thing Lord Chaitanya teaches. Nadanang, najanang, nasundaring, kavitang ba jagadisha kamaye. Mama janmani janmani shure bhavatad bhaktir ahoituki twai. My Lord, I don't want wealth. I don't want sense gratification. I simply want to serve you life after life after life. Lord Nisringa was very pleased with Prahlad. And he told Prahlad, "You should do the funeral ceremony for your father." And then Lord Nisringadev said to Prahlad, "You now will be the king of the demons. I want you to rule as king of the demons. Don't worry. You will always remember me. You will be protected by me. And in this way, even though you will be the king of the demons, you will still be in Krishna consciousness." And then Lord Nisringadev told Lord Brahma, "Don't give these kinds of benedictions again, because they simply indulge the rascals." And then Lord Nisringa returned to his abode. Namaste Narasimhaya. Prahlad, Chava Kara Kamala Vare. Occasion, I want everyone to raise your hand because I'm going to give you a blessing. Do you want a blessing? If you want a blessing, you got to keep your hands raised. No hands raised, no blessing. My dear Lord Nisringadev, please bless all the devotees here in this wonderful temple of ISKCON, Vancouver. And like Prahlad, please remove from their hearts all the inauspiciousness that is still lingering. And may they constantly see your lotus feet at every moment in their hearts. And may they live happily ever after. And at the end, go back home, back to Godhead. Do you like that?
Hare
then
Krishna.
Chant the Maha Mantra.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Louder. Nasinga Bhagavan Ki. Sorry, I was 2 minutes over time.